You're listening to an African Elements top news story for August 18, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the black middle class faces an economic trap. In standard economic reporting, earning a middle class salary implies financial security. Major economic research groups define middle income households as those earning between two-thirds and double the national median income. For a typical family of three, that represents roughly $52,000 to $156,000 annually. Millions of black families have achieved these earnings through higher education and hard work. However, recent reports by leading civil rights policy institutions reveal a troubling reality. Income parity does not equal wealth stability. Black middle-class families remain uniquely exposed to financial shocks. They hold only a fraction of the assets owned by white peers with identical incomes. To understand this vulnerability, observers must look beyond daily headlines and examine a long sequence of federal tax, housing, and labor policies. The economic vulnerability of black professionals is rooted in historical policy decisions. Following emancipation, black workers sought institutional avenues to build capital. In 1865, Congress chartered the Freedmen's Savings Bank. Tens of thousands of formerly enslaved people deposited their earnings into this institution. In 1874, white mismanagement caused the bank to collapse. This failure wiped out nearly $3 million across more than 61,000 individual accounts. This massive collapse destroyed the first institutional wealth reserve of the post-slavery era. Decades later, prosperous commercial centers like the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma, were destroyed through racial massacres. These tragedies eliminated private enterprise and erased intergenerational business equity. When combined with coercive post-Civil War labor systems, these events prevented black families from building an enduring financial cushion. During the 20th century, federal programs built the modern white middle class while excluding black labor. The Social Security Act of 1935 and the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 excluded agricultural and domestic workers. At that time, these two employment categories represented over 60% of all black workers. As a result, federal wage floors and retirement protections bypassed the majority of the black labor force. Federal housing initiatives created an even deeper divide. The Homeowners Loan Corporation and the Federal Housing Administration drew discriminatory risk maps. Neighborhoods with black residents received red outlines and were designated as hazardous risks. Between 1934 and 1968, less than 2% of federally backed home loans went to non-white applicants. Over 70% of those redlined neighborhoods remain economically distressed today. Due to private sector hiring discrimination, the modern black middle class relied heavily on government employment. Following the passage of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and Executive Order 11246, public agencies opened their doors to non-white professionals. College-educated black workers entered postal services, public schools, municipal transit, and civil administration in historic numbers. Civil service positions provided predictable salary ladders, transparent promotion rules, and collective bargaining. These jobs functioned as a primary economic engine for families entering the middle class. However, decades of privatization, budget cuts, and anti-union legislation have weakened public sector protections. Because black workers remain overrepresented in civil service roles, public agency downsizing directly threatens middle-class stability. Modern fiscal rules maintain this vulnerability through the federal tax code. The tax system distinguishes between wage income and capital investment returns. Black middle-class households derive over 90% of their income from standard W-2 wages. In contrast, affluent households generate substantial shares of income through stocks, corporate bonds, and real estate appreciation. Under current law, W-2 labor is taxed at progressive rates reaching as high as 37%. In addition, wage earners pay mandatory FICA payroll taxes for Social Security and Medicare. Conversely, long-term capital gains face a preferential top statutory rate of 20%. This structure privileges asset ownership over physical work, creating a structural penalty for wage-reliant professionals. Federal tax policy also shields accumulated wealth across generations. Under Internal Revenue Code Section 1014, known as the stepped-up basis rule, inherited assets receive an adjusted valuation baseline. When an heir inherits real estate or stock, the purchase cost resets to its fair market value at the time of the owner's death. All capital gains accumulated during the deceased owner's lifetime escape federal income taxation completely. Every year, Americans transfer roughly $765 billion in gifts and inheritances. Because historical exclusion prevented black families from building large investment portfolios, these untaxed transfers flow almost exclusively to wealthy white households. Meanwhile, black students rely heavily on loans to attain professional degrees. This dynamic produces high debt burdens that delay home buying and asset building. Homeownership is the primary asset for most middle-income earners. However, the residential real estate market treats black homeowners inequitably. Prior to the 2008 financial crisis, commercial lenders targeted stable minority neighborhoods with high-cost subprime mortgages. When the market collapsed, black households lost 53% of their median net worth. Furthermore, residential properties in black neighborhoods suffer from structural devaluation. Groundbreaking research by the Brookings Institution demonstrates that homes in majority black neighborhoods are undervalued by 23% compared to identical properties in white neighborhoods. This systemic appraisal gap costs black homeowners $48,000 per home, amounting to $156 billion in cumulative lost equity nationwide. Beyond federal income tax rules, broader governance choices create severe headwinds. The shifting dynamics of federalism have reduced direct federal support for municipal budgets. To balance their books, local governments have increased sales taxes, excise fees, and administrative fines. These flat consumption levies represent regressive taxation. Unlike progressive income taxes, flat sales levies take a larger share of total earnings from working households. Black middle-class families often support extended relatives who lack retirement pensions or health coverage. Because they direct larger portions of take-home pay to immediate household consumption, regressive consumption taxes deplete their liquid reserves. Rapidly, the absence of generational wealth produces severe downward mobility across generations. Longitudinal studies by the Brookings Institution track families across three generations. The data reveal that nearly 70% of black children raised in middle-class households fall out of the middle class as adults. In comparison, only 32% of white children experience downward mobility. Additionally, black Americans are 16 times more likely to experience multi-generational poverty than white Americans. Over 21% of black families experience poverty across three consecutive generations, compared to just 1.2% of white families. Without liquid reserves, even temporary setbacks such as corporate layoffs or health emergencies can push middle-income households into insolvency. Civil rights think tanks have proposed concrete reforms to address these disparities. First, federal lawmakers could equalize tax rates on capital gains and wage labor. Closing loopholes like the stepped-up basis rule would generate hundreds of billions of dollars annually. These revenues could fund down payment assistance programs and relieve student loan debt. Second, economists propose targeted wealth-building programs, such as universal baby bonds. Championed by researchers William Darity Jr. and Derek Hamilton, baby bonds provide government-funded trust endowments at birth. Accounts grow until age 18, when recipients can use funds to purchase a home, pay for college, or capitalize a business. Studies suggest universal baby bonds could reduce the racial wealth divide among young adults by over 50%. The story of the black middle class reflects immense resilience in the face of ongoing barriers. Historically, organized black labor struggles reshaped workplace equity and public institutions. Yet income gains alone cannot overcome structural barriers to wealth creation. Addressing these challenges requires recognizing that current tax, housing, and labor policies perpetuate inequality. By equalizing tax structures and expanding asset-building programs, lawmakers can ensure that middle-class standing provides lasting financial security rather than a temporary milestone. Copyright, African Elements.